The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. New York, all well with the big three now? You good with the big three now? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because I say not so fast. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, but first it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Wireless. It was just a DJ scratch, Rod. That's all that was. In a battle between the number one team in the ESPN power rankings, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Nets' big three, who now have the best record in the NBA against winning teams. I think 7-2, I want to say, on the year. The big three came through. So did we see something close to defense by the Nets? Here is Steve Nash on the big three defensive effort after the game.
Great to see, and it's got to be that way if we're serious about this. You know, we have the luxury of offensive talent, but we have to defend. And that's a really difficult team to defend, and we did a great job. You know, and again, it's tricky when the teams are constantly taking 20 more shots than you are. But we'll keep cleaning up. We'll keep getting better. But when they put forth the effort like they did tonight, we'll be tough to beat.
Okay, I get that Steve Nash is pleased with the defensive effort, especially compared to what they've seen recently, although I just want to point out, well, hold on. Let me first start with the good news for Nets fans. Kyrie Irving scored a season-high 39 and put on a show. Kyrie Irving is the best show in basketball. Any level of basketball, anywhere around the world, he puts on the best show in basketball. And when your two best defenders on the other team are two best in the league, in Kawhi and Paul George, and they have their hands full because you got one guy on KD and the other on James Harden, right? You can't get better scoring than KD and Harden. If you talk about the greatest scorers in basketball history, KD and Harden are on a short list. Like, there are some who would argue Harden's the greatest scorer in the history of the NBA. I would disagree with that. But some have made the argument. And others have made the argument KD, in fact, is the greatest scorer in the history of the NBA. I'd argue Michael Jordan won, and then Kareem. But, like, there are plenty of people who argue KD and Harden. They're on the same team. So you can't get better wing defenders than Kawhi and Paul George. But while those guys are preoccupied with those incredibly tough assignments, who's on Kyrie? I mean, the Nets can kill you 1,000 ways on offense. That said, let's think about what happened last night. The Clippers, number one in the power rankings, yes, but they're six games into a road trip on the East Coast. They're all the way from the other side of the country. They played their fifth game in 7 days. Five games in 7 days. The normal NBA schedule, ideally, would be what? Five games in 10 days. They're the fifth in seven on a road trip. Now, that means that probably they're not at their very best. Brooklyn is hosting them. Brooklyn's at home. And yet, after everything I just said, KD scored 28 points on 11 of 13 shooting. How much better can you do than that? James Harden, 23 points, 14 assists, and 11 boards. A triple-double with over 20 points. And he's been an outstanding playmaker. In fact, that kind of outlet pass, right, that full-court touchdown pass he threw toward the end of the game is really what should have iced the game for the Nets. But let me just remind everybody. If not for Paul George missing a wide-open look at three, the game's in overtime, most likely. Maybe the Nets lose. The Nets won because, when you say, talk about high-leverage plays, Paul George missed a wide-open shot. Wide-open shot. So the Nets, like, it's great that they got the win. Kyrie was spectacular. Harden and Durant are great. And Durant's so efficient. And they put forth a better defensive effort. And also, You heard Jordan Schultz on this NBA insider and analyst here at ESPN mention on this show that – was that earlier this week or was that last week already? That KD is accepting – it was last week, end of last week. KD has been accepting the most difficult defensive assignment every night. That's something coming off an Achilles. Real leadership by KD. But with all that said, they were lucky. It's nothing they did to make the shot difficult for Paul George. They were lucky that one of the best players in the game missed a wide open three, or else maybe they lose to a team on a on an East Coast road swing, sixth game of the road trip, fifth game in 7 nights. Was it a step in the right direction? It is. By the way, the Nets are 9-3 versus plus 500 teams this season. That's the best record in the league. I said 7-2. They're 9-3. So is it cause for celebration? Well, I think I wouldn't say celebration. I would say Nets fans have to feel good about the basic direction the defense looks to be going in, although it couldn't get any worse. It's literally, since the Harden trade, been the worst in the history of the NBA. Dead last. Defensive efficiency. So they should feel good about getting a win against a good team and playing a little better defense. But you really have to take it with a grain of salt. Fifth game in 7 nights for the visiting team, and the Nets got lucky at the end. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And I can tell you this, Nets fans, can the Nets beat any team ever for in any given night? Yep. If this was a tournament, if this is a tournament of 64, we're talking about March Madness, they'd be live. Because for any one night, they could put up a billion points. There's nothing you can do. But they ain't beating no Lakers team 4 out of 7. Not with that defense. Not at all. 4 out of 7? I don't know that they beat the Sixers 4 out of 7 with that defense. And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. How do you like that? Brett Favre, by the way, was asked about Deshaun Watson requesting a trade. And he said, this Brett Favre, mind you, who finagled his way to Minnesota to play for a divisional rival at the end of his career, right? Favre said, and I quote, "I think we make too much money to voice an opinion." I think we make too much money to voice an opinion. It's interesting. I guess the owners should never say anything about anything. Like they're eating a roast beef sandwich. You like that sandwich? I can't say anything. I have no opinion. Owners, if the players make too much money to voice an opinion, then the owners should be lobotomized, right? Like they shouldn't have any opinion about anything. I don't know if a lobotomy changes your opinion. But anyway, you know what I mean. The owners shouldn't have an opinion about anything. None. Nothing. Nice day we're having, right? Like nothing. Because the owners make way more money than the players. Way more money than the players. Since when does the money you make have to do with you not having an opinion? And why the more you make, the less entitled to your opinion are you? Why? I don't understand that logic. Well, except that I kind of do. There's a long tradition in this country. And part of it's good, you know, kind of a puritanical work ethic and humility. That's good. That's a working class American value is you keep your head down and you work. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of humility. I would say, you know, in moderation, like all things, I would say, though, that there is an attitude among many that if you're getting a paycheck, you're not signing the check, you're getting the check, you should be grateful you're getting it. You're just a worker. You know, Brett Favre is talking like he knew he was the hired help and to stay in his place, and maybe, and he thinks Deshaun Watson should too. Now, had Brett Favre says Deshaun makes too much money, he'd have been in trouble for that comment. He said we make too much money. He's including himself in the labor pool and including himself as one of the people who shouldn't have an opinion as a player. Now he's in the business of giving his opinion, but as a player. But in a sense, it's been in newspapers throughout a lot of the 20th century when someone who gets a paycheck starts espousing their kind of their points of view. Well, who is he to give his ideas? You know, that's for Mr. So-and-so. He is the great great accumulator of capital. He signs the check. He's allowed to have an opinion. Who am I to have an opinion? I'm just a working man. And, you know, Joe DiMaggio held out at one point. And the press, who is he to hold out? Why, he's making $100,000 a year to play a child's game. People act as though the owners who amassed huge pools of capital through their work, right, get a seat at the table of power through relationships and effort and their fortunes. A lot of them inherited their fortunes, but okay, not all of them. They get a seat at the table. They get to give their opinion. Why not the players? The players didn't win the lottery. Deshaun Watson didn't get out of bed and win the lottery that day. Say, boy, I sure am grateful I won the lottery. I chose the right numbers. No, Deshaun Watson, and by the way, athletes are genetically gifted, of course. But not every genetically gifted human being winds up as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. The level of passion, the amount of effort, the dedication, the sheer hours of work to acquire the expertise in his craft that Deshaun Watson has, that's how he earned his salary. And remember, his salary is not really subject to free market forces. The NFL has a de facto monopoly. So the owners who amassed their fortunes in a free market, as soon as it comes time to paying labor, they don't want a free market anymore. But that's how the players got rich. No one did them any favors. That's through work. They're one of the best in the world in one of the most competitive industries in the world. And while they don't have the capital resources that the money that the owners have, they have been able to collectively bargain with the owners by coming together. And superstars like Deshaun Watson in the NBA, yes, and in the NFL increasingly, have a seat at the table. Because together the players have leverage in their union, and separately, superstars who are worth so much to the fortunes of a team like Deshaun Watson also have leverage. That's who he is to voice his opinion. Damn, Brett, maybe you feel like the hired help. That's not what Deshaun feels like. Is Favre out of line? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I would say he's not out of line because he included himself. Now, maybe you think he's hypocritical because Favre got his way toward the end of his career, right? Like they dealt him to the Jets. They didn't want him in the division. He made his way back to the Vikings. It's not like Favre didn't have any say in his destiny as a player. And he worked the media really well. He knew how to, you know, curry favor with the media and which relationships to work. And the media took care of Brett Favre. When he was throwing interception after interception, he was being called simultaneously by some erroneously the greatest quarterback ever. Maybe he wasn't. And by the way, I think Favre is fantastic on TV and the radio. He's charismatic. He's smart. He's easy to listen to. He's fun to listen to. I wouldn't say he's out of line here, but he's wrong. I don't think anyone gets paid so much money in the NFL too much to voice their opinion. I don't want to hear, if the amount of money you make, the more you make, the less you should voice your opinion, then no NFL owner should ever give their opinion on anything. But what Favre is really pointing out is if you sign the checks, give your opinion. If you cash the checks, if you don't sign the checks, if you're receiving the checks, then stay in your place. You're the hired help. Just be quiet. I don't think that's true. Luke in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing?
Go ahead, Luke.
So I think you got this dead wrong. I mean, Favre is talking about who's in charge of the franchise. The franchise is paying Deshaun Watson. He shouldn't have to, you know, he shouldn't have say in who runs the franchise since they're paying him.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Stay right there, Luke. Let's talk reality, okay? The reality is Deshaun Watson's in charge of the franchise. The reality is he has an enormous say. And when they try to ignore the natural order of things, because technically they're signing the checks, even though, in fact, he's generating way more revenue than, and he's worth way more than they're giving him, there's a hard cap. in place that the owners voted in. And because they have a monopoly, the players' union's really at a loss when they're at a disadvantage when they collectively bargain. So the owners got a hard cap in. It has zero to do with the competitive balance. All a hard cap is in any sport ever, or a luxury tax or even a soft cap, is a transfer of wealth from labor to small market owners. That's all it is. So Deshaun Watson's $160 million, supposed to be way more than that. And the difference is subsidizing small market owners. That's what's happening. So you can say, well, technically by the rules of a rigged system that the owners set up, that because enormous pools of capital, people who control them can always rig the system, that because of that technicality, Deshaun actually doesn't have a say. You're ignoring reality. In reality, because the players' union does have some leverage, and because superstar quarterbacks in particular are so tied to winning and losing, that just because you think in your kind of or the way you've ordered the universe in your mind, that ethically, if someone's signing, giving you the check, then technically they're supposed to have decide what happens. You're ignoring the reality that someone in an enormous position of leverage in the company, in this case a player, has no say, is not real. Mike in South Carolina here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I wanted to call in and comment a little bit just on a perspective on the Montana and Brady kind of comparison. Mm-hmm. I went to the Super Bowl after watching him have the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, and I was convinced. I thought Tom Brady was the greatest. But when I started to think about it more and I looked at Montana's QBR in the era that he did it in comparison him to all the quarterbacks prior that were great, and I look at who he beat in Super Bowls head-to-head, John Elway and Dan Marino and John Elway, and then I look at Tom's career and the 10 Super Bowl appearances, I'm kind of back on this fence, kind of putting Brady back ahead, but I almost think it's a 1A, 1B.
I agree. Let's put it this way.
With the perfection part.
Brady replaced Montana, and I would say this. Montana in Super Bowls was perfect. 4-0, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. And you're right about what he was doing in his era. And like Brady, later on, Brady, you know, for a while was undefeated in the Super Bowl till Eli got him twice. But Brady did a similar thing, like in the sense that Montana and Brady were both known as very good. But there was this sense that Montana was lucky he was playing for Bill Walsh and Brady was lucky he was playing for Bill Belichick. And that in each case, Marino was better than Montana, and had Bill Walsh had Marino, there wouldn't be an argument. And Peyton Manning and later Aaron Rodgers were better than Tom Brady, and had Belichick had them, there wouldn't be an argument. They'd just be even better. And what Montana showed at the end of his career with Kansas City when he took him to the AFC Championship game, and what, even though the coaching was in place for Montana and everything, and what Brady has shown this year, taking the Bucs to the Super Bowl, where I believe they should be favored, by the way, is that the coaches were also very lucky to have them. And I don't know that Marino or Peyton Manning would have done as well with Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick as Joe Montana and Tom Brady did. So in that way, they're very similar. The difference with Brady is eventually they built an offense around Brady, and he put up Peyton Manning numbers. Like with Randy Moss and them, he put up, oh my God, 50 touchdowns and almost no interceptions and all that stuff. And at that point, I would have given the slight edge to Brady because he'd also won 4 Super Bowls and all that. But then Brady's longevity. You know, if you're talking about Jordan versus LeBron, LeBron's had a much longer career. But the quality of Jordan's peak to me is simply higher. But if you don't know where whose peak is higher between Montana and Brady, and they were very similar in their eras, and Brady has done it for this much longer, I don't think that I can win the argument for Montana. I think the winning argument is for Tom Brady. 10 Super Bowl appearances? 10? 10? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Hey, New York, up next is a player some mock drafts have landing with the New York Football Giants. Former Bama wide receiver Jalen Waddle coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. This is a big one. The last game of the football season is this weekend. The Super Plate. You're not allowed to say certain words, but the amazing bowl. Can't see? I didn't do it. I didn't. Oh, I can? I can say it? A game this big deserves a big prize, not just some trophy. By the way, you have to understand. Apparently, I can say it because DraftKings is a sponsor, but for so many years, if you even thought the word Super Bowl together and you said it on the radio referring to the actual Super Bowl, oh, my God. The powers that be rained pain down on you. You weren't allowed to say it. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner, sports partner of the Super Bowl, of Super Bowl 55, has up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs with their Super Bowl prediction pool. What a coincidence. $55 million, and it's Super Bowl 55. It's a good thing they didn't run this promo last year, Super Bowl 54. That wouldn't have worked. All you have to do is get your share of these huge prizes. All you have to do to get them is enter DraftKings' free prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app now, enter the free prediction challenge, answer questions like who will score last, and boom, get ready to make it rain. I know what you're thinking. Come on, man. So much better in the middle of the season. All the teams are playing, more options and everything. Guys, you're looking at this all wrong. Forget about if it's better in the middle of the season. This is your last chance to play DraftKings in the NFL until next year. Don't miss it. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX to enter the free $55 million prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use promo code MAX now and enter the free $55 million prediction challenge only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. A new weapon for the Giants? I'm going to talk to him next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. New weapon for Daniel Jones? Would he even want to go to the Giants? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Super Week on ESPN is brought to you by AutoZone. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and now joining me on the Goodyear Hotline, apparently, I saw on Twitter, is this your national television, at least on ESPN Plus, debut, Jaylen Waddle? Is this your national TV debut?
Definitely is. I get to be with you, though.
Oh, listen, I'm honored. You, my friend, if you, like, you know, when football teams that are drafting, like, 11th, like my Giants are drafting, think, do you think Jaylen Waddle will still be there at 11? Grab him. When, you know, you look at this, you look at this Super Bowl and you see Tyreek Hill, and then the hope would be Jaylen Waddle could be a guy like that, and he could have such a profound impact on your team. When you look at the draft, where do you, like, are you hoping to go by a certain number or to a certain geographical location?
No, not really. I'm open to anywhere, and anywhere would be fine. I'm just happy to be in this position to get drafted by any team. So I'm just grateful.
Okay, that's what you're supposed to say, and of course that's true, right? You're about to get paid to play football, and you deserve it. But, for example, some people have speculated maybe the Patriots. Bill Belichick's missed on a lot of explosive receivers. What do you think when you hear your name linked to the Patriots?
Obviously the Patriots, Coach Belichick, and Coach Saban are very similar. So it'd be like going to play for Alabama again. But it's just great, just an honor just to be in this situation, really, for any team, and especially the Patriots, who got just a big name and everyone got tremendous amount of respect for them. So,
you know, players like you, really fast, you know, can return kicks, return punts. Once upon a time, were thought of as weapons, but not necessarily guys who were going to be the best receiver in the game. And then I brought up Tyreek Hill. You make a very good argument. He's the best in the game right now. And when I look at you, that's the obvious comparison. When you, like, have you modeled your game after Tyreek Hill? What are your thoughts there?
Well, just me and him being built similar, so it's just great to see a guy that's doing good in the NFL that you can just model your game after of, and he's producing just so good right now. So, obviously, I watch him a lot. Cooper Kupp is another receiver that I watch a lot. I try to watch guys that have similar body types to me. So, So mm-hmm.
you are not big for a receiver, and your speed is obvious and all that. But the thing that jumps out to me, and the reason as a Giants fan, I'd love you on the Giants, is your toughness. You know, you had a lot of receivers tweeting about you in the national title game going, "What, kid, what are you doing? And get him out of this game. He's on a bad wheel. You got the whole future in front of you." Why did you insist on playing in that championship game?
I just get competitive, and my competitive spirit is always something that I'm just going to go with. And obviously, just to help my team out and just to grind out a win. Obviously, we came out victorious, so that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Just coming out and just trying to help your team win.
Talking to Jaylen Waddle on the Goodyear Hotline, former Alabama wide receiver. He and Devontae Smith were nightmares for opposing defenses. And Jaylen, that's the thing about a guy like you with those competitive juices and the toughness. On the one hand, guys like me are going, "Kid, don't get, what are you doing? Don't go in the game." But on the other hand, when you take that risk and come out on the other side, guys like me are also saying, "That kid, I want that guy on my team in a full contact sport like football." That's the kind of attitude you want from the players. What has been the reaction to you from players in the league since that national title game?
Well, obviously, I seen the tweets. I seen them coming late. But they were just telling me just to play smart and be safe and just do what you want and do what you think is best for your career. And obviously, I think I did that and going out there and trying to help my team play.
Let's stay there. Stay right there. Like, get into that a little bit more. How did you do that? How are you smart by staying in that game on a bum wheel? How are you smart taking that risk?
I just think my coaches just did a good job of not putting me in bad situations and things that adjusting the plays and things to things that I could do at the time. So obviously it was just great just going out there and just doing and just having trust in them to not put me in a bad situation for when I had to overstep what I could do at the time.
You know, I look at that Alabama team. And, oh, my God, it's not enough they got you. They have to have Devontae Smith, too. What would you guys talk about, you know, regarding the draft? Given your injury, I think he's likely to go before you in the draft. You guys are going to be two of the top three receivers taken along with Ja'Marr Chase, one would imagine. But did you guys trash talk each other or get competitive about who was going to be drafted first, anything like that?
Nah, not at all. Never even talked about the draft. We were just trying to make plays for the team, honestly. And that's mostly what me and Smitty was talking about daily. Just who's going to make that play? Who's going to change the game? Who's going to impact the game?
You know, that's a receiving tandem that people will always talk about. The fact that you two were on the same team at the same time, talking to Jaylen Waddle, Alabama star receiver, And you know, going to be among the top draft picks, certainly among wide receivers in this upcoming NFL draft. People are going to talk about that tandem. Did you and Devontae ever talk about that? Like, did you know that the two of you were doing something special when you were on the field together for the games you were?
I think now that it's over, we look back at it now and really see if we was really cause of damage. So, but now at the time, no, we're just playing and trying to better ourselves every week and get ready for the next game. But now that it's over, we really see like, yeah, we was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. It's an understatement. Jaylen, talking to Jaylen Waddle, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, on his national TV debut, as a matter of fact. As far as interviews are concerned, it was his first, it won't be his last. Getting back to you, do you feel like, I'm just curious about your road to here. Guys your size with your kind of speed, who are sometimes seen as special teams guys, have had to overcome that image to show people that they're, no, I could be a lead wideout. And maybe because of guys like Tyreek Hill, maybe that culture is changing. I don't know. You tell me, what's your experience been? Have you had to constantly prove that you're not just a special teams dude, or have guys like Tyreek Hill paved the way and it's easier now?
I think guys like Tyreek obviously paved the way. I just remember earlier in my Alabama career, I was more of a special teams guy, just of that's the role that they needed me to play and come in the game after like guys like Jerry Jeudy. But definitely, I feel like I had to overcome that and really showcase that I could. I'm pretty good at playing receiver too, and guys like Tyreek Hill that can do it all just shows that you can be a receiver at the 5'10" height, a dominant receiver at that.
Especially if you run a 2.140 or whatever it is you're going to do at the comp. Are you going to run? Are you going to be able to put up a 40 time, or is your ankle going to preclude you from doing that?
Oh, most definitely. I definitely plan on showcasing my talents before the draft. So it's definitely going to run.
Come on, Gettleman. Put him with Saquon. Put him with Saquon. Let's see what Daniel Jones got. The great Jalen Waddle, ladies and gentlemen. Jalen, a pleasure and an honor to be your first national interview. Best of luck in the draft and going forward for your career.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Max.
Jalen Waddle, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. That kid got all the talent in the world and is tough as nails. He's exactly who you want on your team. This preview of the big game... Raj, there you go. This preview of the big game is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Has the winner of Super Bowl 55 already been predicted? No doubt is next. The latest 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL, looks back on the long-running feud between Raiders owner Al Davis and NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle, two of the most influential figures in the history of pro football. Beginning in the mid-1960s, when Rozelle was the NFL's young commissioner and Davis led the rival AFL, and continuing through the 1980s when Davis brought a lawsuit against the league to allow him to move the Raiders from Oakland to Los Angeles, famously. The two titans were constantly and very publicly at odds. Boy, that was the best back and forth like that since RFK and Jimmy Hoffa. The latest 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL, premieres tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Immediately following its debut, check out Jalen and Jacoby, the After Show podcast, where the guys will be joined by director Ken Rogers. Listen and subscribe to Jalen and Jacoby, the After Show, but only if you want to be entertained and informed. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. No doubt is next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Chiefs might be in trouble with that offensive line. I mean, Mahomes... I don't think people really understand how great they think Mahomes is. Mahomes is so great. People making the Chiefs the favorites. They shouldn't be the favorites. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. No doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right.
All right, damn. Well, I guess you already answered the question, but I'd ask it anyway. Hey, if the Chiefs lose, let another offensive lineman, the Bucs defensive line will stifle the Chiefs' high-powered offense.
Nah, son, even though the line is – and here's the real thing. The Bucs are all healthy and getting healthy as the Chiefs are all hurt and getting hurt, right? Like, both tackles. Mitch Schwartz been out since week 11, I think it was. But Fisher is now down and out. And now your backup center's down. You know, think about the Bucs. They're getting totally healthy. Remember, I don't remember how many weeks ago it was already, where they had a little spate of injuries, but those guys are all coming back. Vita Vea, by the way, remember that Chicago game? He was supposed to be out for the season. No, he's back. He's about 350 pounds in the middle. That means you get that push in the line. The line of scrimmage should be dominated by the Bucs in this game. I'm taking the Chiefs anyway because I believe in Mahomes. I don't think people understand. Any other quarterback who ever lived, you put him in Mahomes' place, they'd be the underdogs. Who's next?
All right. Hey, yo, Max, you good with court sign Karen's apology?
No doubt. What courtside Karen said, that was the woman who got kicked out of the game with LeBron. First of all, she said, I shouldn't have removed my mask. Remember what I brought up on the show yesterday? Mm-hmm. So that's great. She said, look, I shouldn't. And also, he was going at my dude, you know, and I was standing up for him, but I got carried away and I shouldn't have used the language I did. Yep, courtside Karen's okay with me. She owned it. And that's all you can do. You know, she admitted her mistake and that's all you can do.
All right, fair enough. Hey, yo, we saw the Nets, the Big Three, win last night, but the Nets must make a move to win the East.
No doubt. The Nets need a defensive presence.
No doubt.
And I don't mean DeAndre Jordan. I mean a guy who can play real minutes and play defense. Secure the defensive rebound. What do I keep saying, Raj? Possession's not over until you get that rebound. So they can even have good defensive sequences. You're like, oh, not bad, Nets. You put a little effort in. I see you. And then the other team gets the offensive board, and they start all over again. No, they need a guy to play real minutes, a guy with the skills to play 20 to 25 minutes at least a game, and can give you some defensive effort and some rebounding. So I think they need to make a move before the deadline.
All right, hey, Max, this next one might hit home in your heart. Remember how you used to do Madden, Max? You didn't actually get the sticks and play, but what you used to do? Tell them what you used to do.
You mean the pro, the game, the kid, and the psychic?
No, darn it, the video game, how you used to simulate the seasons.
Oh, yes, yes. I know I talked to a lot of Super Bowl champions on this show and guys who suited up, and I never had the shoulder pads on. However, back in the early part of this century, I used to simulate seasons, and one time I won the Super Bowl, not against anyone else, just against the machine. And one time I won the Super Bowl, so I think that qualifies me to talk to anybody about football.
All right, then let's talk about Madden 21. Madden NFL 21 simulation picks the Kansas City Chiefs to beat the Buccaneers in Super Bowl 55. The simulation holds weight with you, man.
The simulation does, too. I don't know about the simulation. But I'll tell you this. We used to play the pro, the game, the kid, and the psychic on the Max Kellerman Show in New York and Max and Marcellus in L.A., we're a professional handicapper, a 10-year-old kid, a psychic, and a simulated Madden between the two teams predict the games every year, every week against the spread. Madden used to win in a runaway. Yeah, I think Madden simulations, not just one, but if you do a bunch of them, they're probably the most accurate way to gauge the, you know, you have to make substitutions based on injury and get it accurate. But yeah, they do a pretty good job of simulating, getting close to the results. So no doubt is the answer. More impressive, Brady or LeBron in this match? Plus Pro Bowl wide receiver and all-around monster DK Metcalf. Ooh, does this guy. Ooh, he's coming up on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.